past first point guard and Trail Blazers reporter Mike Richmond. You are listening to another episode of Locked On Blazers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, available wherever you get podcasts and also on YouTube. Thanks for making the show your first listen. It's coming at you every single weekday, Monday through Friday. Start your weekdays with it. Make it your first listen. Tell your friends to do the same. It's Locked On Blazers, your team every day. Today's episode, a very special one. We are joined by friend of the program, Blazers television analyst and all-around good dude, Lamar Hurd. Lamar, how you doing? Thanks for joining the program.
Mike, past first point guard, it is my pleasure, as always. Avid listener to the podcast, as you know Kevin is too. We're locked in with you, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, occasionally you guys will send me text messages and say, hey, you, I like that you said that. Or like, hey, that you might not have given them the credit they deserve. So I appreciate the avid listening. Lamar, who was the best pass first point guard you ever played with?
That I ever played with? I typically was the pass first point guard. And in most of the roles I played in, I was the starter. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm the best pass first point guard, but it's just that was my role.
Right.
So I'll give you this. One that I played against that I always admired his game, I liked his game, is a guy that is an assistant coach right now for the University of Texas, Brandon Chappelle. And he played at a school called Beaumont Ozan in high school. That was Kendrick Perkins High School. So he was Kendrick's point guard. And he and I, we played on the same AAU team 1 year. So even though I had the ball in my hands a lot, he would be the guy then that I would say was the best one that I played with.
There you go. Listen, not every point guard passes. It's a modern NBA. The modern league.
The game's different.
You got to score. I remember being a youngster and people were mad that Gary Payton scored too much. Think about Gary Payton unleashed with what it would be like now. It would be a little bit different. Exactly. Yeah. The Blazers are in the midst of kind of just winding down a season where they're going to lose a lot of games. It makes for weird basketball stuff. You and Kevin do such a good job of like keeping it light, keeping it delightful. But let's, without getting too doom and gloom, as I try to avoid on the podcast, it's a pro-joy show. Let's talk about the most fun part about the end of the year. The youngster, Shaedon Sharpe, has been really good. When you watch him, what do you appreciate the most?
That's first time that question's been posed to me, because there's a lot I appreciate about him. I don't know if I've even thought about what I appreciate the most. I almost feel like there's several things, Mike, that are equal. I appreciate his athleticism that, you know, just screams at you at all times. But also his skill set that goes along with it. Because I feel like, as we're just talking about modern NBA and the way things are, I feel like for the last, 15-ish years or so, we started to see like even the NBA draft and the way guys were evaluated start to change, where it's potential, it's athleticism, it's upside, it is... okay, maybe you didn't really accomplish a whole lot in college. Like, you started seeing some guys get drafted where they're averaging single digits in college.
Right.
They're still good, but people just started giving those guys a chance more than they would have in the past. And Shaedon could have very easily been another one of those players that almost looks like a project. And, he could jump out the gym, but I don't know. Can he shoot it? You know, does he have feel for the game? And I just feel like he has all of that, not like a finished product, but he has this crazy athleticism to go along with this feel for the game and being a scorer and just the way he moves, not just jumping and running, but I love watching him come off of screens. I think he's going to be a menace in his career, being a guy coming off of screens. I don't know when that will happen. I think once, you know, he starts getting more plays called for him and he continues to grow and just understand the game and all that. And then, Mike, the last thing I'd say is his temperament, just how he goes about his day-to-day stuff. Like, he never played a game in college, as you're aware. And for, I guess, anybody who hasn't been in that type of situation, it is a big difference playing in a high school gym and high school setting and AAU settings, and then having even 6,000 people in the stands. Like, you notice, you feel the difference. And he stepped into an arena of 20,000, and it was like nothing is going on, and he's not fazed by it. The crowd doesn't sway him one way or the other. That to me is like the makings of a potential superstar, because you got to have that, I think, like the really, really good players, where it's like, I don't care. I don't care what y'all are saying about me, positive or negative. I appreciate the positivity, you know, and I understand the negativity, but it's not going to phase how I go about my day-to-day work. And I feel like he has that already.
I mean, he barely gets rattled. The man, you got to check. You need to, instead of putting a mic on him, let's get a heart rate monitor and check the pulse during those games. Cause he's throwing down dude's career level dunks, right? Yeah. Like, people was like, put that in my career highlight. Even the one that they called back where Nas threw him that alley-oop on the charge, right? Yes. People put that, say, hey, don't delete that one. That's an all time. he's doing that twice to four times a week. And he's just like stoic.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Like, every once in a while, there'll be a yell or just something, but it's quick and then it's done. And he just moves on and goes to the next play.
Have you seen him? Like, we haven't really seen him on the court, and but have you seen him get riled up, like, behind the scenes at all? Have you seen him maybe turn the dial up to 2.5? Because he's right there at zero most of the time.
I haven't seen it get turned up, but one thing we learned that does get to him is when people call him Shay Don. So right before the Celtics game in Boston a couple weeks ago, he came up to the scoring table as the starters were going into the game, and he runs up and he comes over to me and he said, hey, tell him it's not Shay Don. It's not Shay Don. And I wasn't sure if I heard him correctly because I had my headset on. So I took it off and I was like, wait, what? And he said, he's calling me Shay Don. And I was like, okay, I'll tell him. And then after he said that, he was talking about Kevin. And then I was thinking, wait, Kevin doesn't call him Shay Don. And so I told Kevin, and Kevin immediately said, I didn't call him Shay Don. And Kevin was right on it. He's like, you know what I bet happened? I bet somebody that's maybe a family or friend of his was watching the game, maybe on League Pass. They're listening to somebody else thinking it was us. And, you know, they thought that I called him Shay Don. So
classically confusing Brian Scalabrine and Lamar Hurd. Anyone can do it.
Well, he knew it wasn't me.
Right.
Things with him, like, off the court and stuff. So he knows I know his name.
Right.
He just, I guess they didn't know that about Kevin. So the last game of that trip was at New Orleans, and we walked into the arena in New Orleans, and Shaden was at the end of the bench, just kind of warming up. And I pointed over to Kevin and I was like, you want to go check on him with this whole name thing? And so we went over to him and we asked him, like, hey, where is this Shay Don thing coming from? And he was like, I don't know. Somebody called me Shay Don. And Kevin was like, did somebody tell you that? Or did you hear it, or did somebody tell you? And he said, yeah, somebody told me. And he's like, you know what? I bet they were listening to somebody else. And so then we got caught up and Shaden knew, like, no, okay, both of them know my name. But that was the only time I've seen him even, I don't know, dispute something or bring up a potential issue. Other than that, man, he's just smooth sailing.
Yeah, I mean, I think early on in his career, I diagnosed it as maybe, I was like, I just wish his engine revved a little hotter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wish he would, I was like, because there was times, particularly early on in his, like, right away in November, mm-hmm. where he just wasn't ready all the time on offense. His feet weren't ready, and his mind wasn't ready because his feet weren't ready. And it's like, hey, are you engaged? Like, get in there, guy. Like, because he'd have these incredible moments, but then the ball would swing to him and he just wasn't shot ready, and he would travel or he wouldn't shoot it. So he'd have to drive into traffic and he wouldn't be able to maximize his gifts because he was thinking because he made the move from AAU to the NBA. Right. Like, but my thought was like, oh man, I wish his engine revved a little hotter. I wish he was a little more competitive. But it's interesting that you say, after seeing him up close, that you actually read it on the totally opposite side of the coin, where you say he doesn't get rattled and he doesn't get these things. This is the sign of being a superstar, because he doesn't walk into the Boston Garden and worry about, oh man, I am in this church. He says, hey, make sure Brian Scalabrine gets my name right.
Right. Yeah, but I think you're right too, Mike. I think both of the things can apply here where, like snap into some things, be shot ready. Like to me, being shot ready or ready to make the next play does not require him to change his temperament.
Sure.
I think that the temperament we see from him isn't necessarily from ignorance of like not realizing like, oh, this is the Boston Garden. Or I've heard Shaden talk about some of the other arenas and like he realizes where he is and what's going on. I really just think he's not concerned. Like he knows he has a healthy respect. He knows what the case is, but he's like that youngster that feels like when they give me my chance, They're gonna be talking about me more than the Boston Garden or the Lakers and all the championships. Like they're gonna be talking about me like that. I think deep down, he feels that way.
You on the broadcast yesterday, I listened closely to when you speak, Lamar.
Okay.
You mentioned a comparison that our friend, our mutual friend, Brandon Sprague made. We need to talk about that in the second segment. Okay? We need to talk about a certain comparison with another preps to pro star that turned out pretty good. He's from Lower Merion High School in the Philadelphia area. For those of you who don't know, we'll talk about that in the second segment. But first, let me tell my listeners about Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. It's the coolest game I've played in a long time. I have always fancied myself capable of running an NBA team. I mean, I talk into a microphone like I'm a genius all the time, but turns out it's not so easy. A humbling experience here with Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. If you've had the same thought or fantasized about managing your own basketball franchise, go download Ultimate Pro Basketball GM right now. The game allows you to manage every strategic aspect of a franchise, playing through seasons and leading your franchise and your fans to the glory as you build a historic dynasty in a simulation where you're responsible for everything, dealing with the challenges of personalities from players and coaches, hiring those right coaches and assistants, trading and training players, making draft picks, navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft and all the ups and downs of multiple seasons. All of this in a challenging, realistic game world. Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is completely free, playable offline. You can play on the go as you want, when you want. Plus, right now, Locked On Blazers listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On in the game store. So make sure you check it out. To download it, just visit probasketballgm.com or scan the code right there if you're watching on YouTube or look it up in the app stores. That's probasketballgm.com. Ultimate Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. All right. Still chatting here with Lamar Hurd. Lamar, you did it. You said it on the broadcast. A comparison first floated by friend of the program, straight up friend of mine, Brandon Sprague, who has been calling since September of 2022, maybe since July of 2022, early in the game. Brandon Sprague, host of Jack Ramsey's host Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan, has been comparing Shaden Sharpe favorably to Kobe Bryant, calling him young Kobe. And now you didn't go that far to call him young Kobe, but you did say he shares some aspects where he could approach that level. What about the 70 games of Shaden Sharpe we've seen makes you think that comparison is maybe not like fair and valid, but at least something that you would be brave enough to mention on TV?
So the way it started is I'm, you know, watching Shaden, I'm looking at the different highlights he's having, whether it's a dunk, it's something nice in the mid range, it's a block shot out of nowhere. And I'm seeing it and it's in limited minutes. And there's other rookies who have played, but they've been starters or they've been the sixth man off the bench and they've had more opportunities and they've had similar highlights, but Shaden, he'll do it. He might get subbed in the game. You know, the last 6 minutes and you got to pay attention because you might miss one of those crazy highlights. So I just started thinking, you know, what other rookie has been like this? And I had a couple people tweet at me and say, Kobe Bryant. Kobe was similar, you know, playing 15 minutes a game, his rookie season, and he'd get in and he'd do something and make you be like, whoa, that was pretty crazy. And so I was like, yeah, that's from that standpoint, limited minutes, variety of highlights, I see that similarity. Now, when I was talking to Brandon Sprague back last fall and he brought it up, he was talking more so just about the all-around game and what the career path might look like. And at the time when he said that, I told him, I was like, look, I'm not going to say that this dude is going to be Kobe Bryant. I can't say that and know that. But I also do not feel comfortable saying that he's not going to be somewhere in that element. What that means, I don't know. Does it mean Shade's going to be one of the top five shooting guards of all time and all that? I'm not saying that. But could he be a multi-time all-star? Could he be a franchise cornerstone? Could he be that? I could easily see that path for him. And as you know, there's a lot that goes on between now and then. And not everybody gets there. It's just that there are things that he has, like some of the stuff we've already touched on, the way he moves, the temperament already, that puts him ahead of the game. Now, what he's taught between now and as his career progresses, what he applies, what are his career work ethic decisions, that will ultimately determine a lot of things for him. But he is already ahead of the game in a major way in some important areas, and now it's up to him to do the rest. So that's where I'm willing to at least entertain a conversation of, okay, by the time you get to the end of your career, it could be a really special one. Even if it's not a Kobe, what if it's a T-Mac or one of those other great players?
What if it's an Eddie Jones? Like the guy who was in front of Kobe. The reason why Kobe didn't start is because they had an all-star in front of him. If Shaedon Sharpe's Eddie Jones, that's a heck of a career.
I totally agree. And so I'm not trying to put more on Shaedon's plate than he's already got, and put these lofty expectations, but I do want to be realistic with like certain things I'm seeing. Like Mike, I was thinking this last night when I got home from the game, the McDonald's All-American game dunk contest was on TV. Yep. And one of the kids in the game, his name is Mookie Cook. I know Mookie and his family. We just talked last week. Mookie, when he was a fifth, sixth grader, that's before I joined the Blazers, and I was working with kids in the area. So I knew all the young kids. And Mookie was a kid that when he would come in a gym and play, you could look at him and say, he has a chance to be a McDonald's All-American. As you know, when a kid's in fifth, sixth grade, you don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, right.
But it's if this happens, if he maybe gets to 6'4", 6'5", which he got to, if he continues to work and stay the course. Because right now, what he's doing at this stage is ahead of the game. And he applied all those things that all fell into place. He was a McDonald's All-American. So when I think of Shaedon, it's kind of just in a similar forecasting type way of can't make any determination, but this stuff he's doing, this isn't normal stuff.
Yeah.
So if he's got the right stuff around him throughout his career, this is going to be really good. That's how I feel.
In some ways, I thought the Pelicans game, which the Blazers were terrible in, like they scored 35 points in the first half. It was a bad game. Yeah, but in some ways, the attention he got, I thought was really valuable for him. He had 24, 24, 29. He's beating teams that are trying to, he's scoring easily, efficiently against teams that are trying to make the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. So what did the Pelicans do? They said, Herb, go get him. And they sent Herb Jones on him and they just blanketed him. He just gave him the full attention. And to me, that's great for development. Like these end of the season games can be rough. But to me, I was like, hey, that's a great night where you're the number one assignment.
Yes. Yes. And I don't think that's also the way the game went last night is necessarily indicative of what it might look like for Shaedon if he had some other players out there. Cause there just wasn't a lot out there to help soften the defense or just force Herb to, all right, I got this dude, I'm face guarding, whatever, but I got to help him recover. Like he didn't have any other responsibilities. So I would love to see Shaedon in that scenario when there's some other people out there. And then also, this is where I think Shaedon's temperament will serve him well rather than have a negative impact on him. It'd be really easy in a game like that, I think, to become discouraged and maybe you try to just force the issue because you feel like, man, nothing's working. Or like, I don't think he's going to be rattled by that. I think he understands, all right, this is what it is now. All right, let me just work through it. I had a bad game. The same way, sometimes they might have a 3-for-15 from the field game or whatever. There's always a bounce back. And I think Shaden knows, like, okay, let me figure this part out. And also knowing, oh, it'd be different if I had a little bit, you know, different help out there. Like, it wouldn't be the same deal. I think he's able to figure all that stuff out while still trying to work to overcome what the current situation is.
Yeah, I mean, he had a tough first half. I thought he played better in the second half. Obviously, mm-hmm. the game was very different in the second half. But, like, I do think it's like if the spacing on the weak side draws a little more defense, or if Herb knows his other someone has to help, like, it's the value of a Damian Lillard. It's the value of the Anfernee Simons. If you have other scary teammates, it's just the ask for you gets different. I want to ask you, where has Shaden Sharpe improved the most in your eyes from – you know, November to March?
I think some of his drives to the basket have stood out a little bit. And that comes with the role change, because he is the primary guy, because he is getting the ball and running screen roll and stuff. It's giving him an opportunity rather than just being that guy on the second side of the floor. And now it's catch and shoot, or not being ready for the shot, things you pointed out. I think having that ball in his hands a little more at the top of the key has enabled or encouraged him to drive it a little more. So, like, I've seen several times where he's dribbled through contact because he's super strong,
yeah,
both upper body and lower body, which is another thing that I think is going to bode so well for him. But, yeah, like, some of the drives and the finishes, I don't know if it's necessarily been better or it's just like we're just seeing it more. But either way, it's been new. It's been new because it just hasn't happened at the rate it's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, the role change is really interesting, right? Because mm-hmm. when you're the fourth guy, or you're coming in and you're the third guy on a second unit, it's very different than mm-hmm. like I think Shaden Sharpe's maybe been the Blazers' best player, like just straight up their best player. That's unique at 19 to be the guy on the top of the scouting reports and to not have all-star help and all of those things. Like, you know, even other rookies around the league, right? Like, even if you look at, say, Ben Mathurin, or mm-hmm. if you look at a Jabari Smith Jr., like, even those dudes aren't the top of the scouting report. They might start and have big roles, but not the top of the scouting report. Like, Shaden has shifted from being the fourth, fifth, sixth guy with only secondary, They don't run plays for him, right? Like they ran some actions where he would be like, okay, after they run the pick and roll, you got to fill. Like, your job is to baseline drift or from the baseline to get up to the slot. Like, but that's it. That's an action. That's like take four steps to make yourself available. It's not a play for you. He was never the primary. And then when it changed and he started to get a bigger role, it was like, okay, here's everything. Here's the whole buffet. So it's curious for an evaluation standpoint, because it got big in a hurry and he kind of just filled the space.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Yeah. And the guys you just mentioned, who you say, Jabari Smith Jr., you said somebody else's name.
Ben Mathurin.
College. Guys that went to college, played on good teams, got coached well. They learned coverages. They learned what a hard hedge looks like. They learned the difference between a double team and a show. So they learned different counters. Like, this is all stuff that he is learning right now on the fly, on the go. And he's processing it and he's making those changes. That's another thing that at this level, that is not a normal thing to do as well as he has done it. It reminds me a little bit. It's different, but a little bit of like Anthony. I think you and I had the same conversation last year when Anthony got the ball in his hands as a point guard and some of the reads he was making as a passer. We knew he could score it, but as a passer, he started to get stuff pretty quickly where we saw like, oh, this guy, if he has a ball in his hands and he is the primary point guard, he can be a point guard. He's a scorer, but he can also make certain passes off the screen and roll. That was Ant with years in the league, though, at least.
Right. That was, you know, year four and four and a half. Like, that was from December. That was December of his fourth season. So, it was a long way into the grid.
Like you said, AAU, this is from Peach Jam to the NBA. And he's doing this.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what his ceiling is, but I know that it is worth tuning into these final eight games or nine games, whatever we got left, because he is worth seeing his growth as a teen. Like, I think he turns 20 in May, right? Like, he's going to, they're going to, the season's going to be over. He's still a teenager. Like, seeing his growth and his growth with 35 minutes and the ball in his hands and all those things is fascinating to watch. And it's what I want to ask you to close the show. Okay. How else are you watching this game? Like, how these games are, you know, Blazers are probably going to lose a bunch. I'm not 100% sure there's a win left on the schedule. I know I have one circled down, down in one certain part of Texas, but like, you know, they're going to lose a lot. So how are you watching when there's going to be struggles? How are you watching the games? That's what I'll ask you to close the show. But first, I want to tell my listeners about FanDuel. Look, it's a great time to sign up for FanDuel because right now, FanDuel's giving customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim that no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team scores the most points in the second quarter. It's that granular, that fun, and that easy, all on the app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Still a pass first point guard. Still Mike Richmond. You are still listening to Locked On Blazers, still chatting here with Lamar Hurd of Blazers Broadcasting, your television analyst on your TV dial. No, none of you watching YouTube. You're either old enough that you very much remember dials, or you do not know what a television dial is. But listen, click through. You only got 10 channels. Lamar, the games, you know, say the game against New Orleans on Monday evening, where the Blazers were out of it pretty quickly, down 34-14. There's going to be nights like that. Like, it's just the nature of the beast. They're playing some guys who are at the end of an NBA bench, and they're playing a bunch of teams that are pushing for the playoffs. It's a talent league, and they are a little light on talent right now. Given that situation, how do you watch, or what are you watching for in games that might be a little bit lopsided? Like, how do you choose to sort of evaluate? What are you keeping a close eye on?
I look to see what improvements have been made. So, like we talked about Shaden, what is some stuff that he's doing now that he wasn't doing earlier in the season? And I look for that for all the guys. And then I look to see, well, if these guys are on the roster next season, how would what they're showing now possibly plug into the way the team might go next season? And I just look to see kind of just overall what really works. Because there's some stuff, there's some scores that happen where it's like, okay, that happened because the Pelicans have already won this game. They're done. They're not really guarding. So, yeah, that guy just made that shot. But if this was real defense, if this was a two-possession game, most likely that shot would have never happened because of X, Y, and Z. So I'm looking at it kind of that way. And there's a few guys on the roster, some of the youngsters that are really intriguing, whether it's Matisse, Nasir. Is it okay to still call Nasir a youngster? Feel like he's been around for a while, but he's, you know, he's
young.
Okay. All right. You know, nowadays in the NBA world, like that's a start of
what is he? He's like 25. Yeah, he's like very he's like old. He's like the oldest player on the team.
Yeah, right. So yeah, he's an old guy. But no, youngsters Nasir, Matisse, Cam Reddish, and trying to see like what they're doing, how it's looking, each play. Coach Roy Rogers said something in one of the interviews a couple games ago. Where he said, and coaches say this all the time, like, you got to play every single possession hard. I think it was the OKC game, because you're saying you got to play every single possession hard. And coaches say that a lot. But I really am looking to see, like, how are these guys playing every possession? Is it meaningful? Because Shaden is one thing. Like, we talked about him and his skill set, and he's going to get opportunities. There's other guys that make me think of, like, Josh Hart, when Josh Hart was on the team, where when you watch Josh Hart play, he really played every possession. He's one of a handful of NBA guys that plays like 30 minutes a game or 30 plus and like actually plays every possession. So I'm seeing like, all right, if you might not be able to stick around, you know, with your skill set or just because it's a numbers game and, you know, there's some talent right now sitting on the bench in just everyday clothes, how else might you be able to carve out space, whether it's on this roster or even on another NBA team? Because my whole thing with our guys that come on the team, like I always want to see them do well, whether that's for the Blazers or they get an opportunity somewhere else. And so I'm watching them to see how can you carve out some space somehow and make yourself an NBA player. So those are just kind of the main things. Of course, Shaden's going to be the headline, being the seventh pick and being a – he'll be a huge topic of discussion when this offseason comes, one way or the other.
Right.
You know, like one way that he's going to be a huge part of discussions that take place. So I'm looking to see, like, you know, are you ready? Are you at that point? So I'll be watching all these last few games kind of through that lens.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, for Shea, it's like a different thing. Like he's just he's 35 minutes, balls in his hands. He's anointed to some extent, right? Like that everybody knows what his path can look like.
It is. Yeah.
Not everyone's path is that clear. I think Nazir Little has a really interesting stretch down the end of this season because I think he was probably thought he was going to get a bigger role this year and just it didn't materialize. Against OKC, he was incredible. Yes, second night of a back-to-back against Pelicans, he struggled. Consistency is always the key for players trying to find their way in the league. So him consistently and you mentioned on the broadcast, he scored off the bounce with two dribble moves against OKC. I'm in the living room like,
it stood out to you?
Yeah. I'm like, he hasn't, I don't think he's ever done that. Like, and I've watched Nas since he was, you know, I've watched every one of his college basketball games. He wasn't doing that at Carolina.
Yeah.
Hasn't done that.
Let me ask you this. Did you watch him in high school?
I did not. I mean, I watched him during the circuit, the Jumpman and McDonald's All-American, but no, I did not see him as a high school kid.
So here's what's really interesting to me, and this happens a lot with players, and I know you understand how this happens, is that some guys, there's almost this gap. There's some stuff they were doing in high school that we didn't see them do in college, and maybe we didn't see early in their career. And it's not always a physical deal. It's a mental deal, whether they don't feel comfortable doing it or they don't feel like this their place, or if I try this, I pull it out. I fail, I'm in trouble, or I just don't have the confidence. Like there's this gap that takes place. And I remember I was already out of like the high school game and the circuit and all that stuff by the time Nasir joined the team and when he was even playing in high school. But I had a couple people reach out to me when the Blazers drafted him and they're like, this dude is the real deal. Like he's the truth.
Yep.
He can do this. And some of the stuff they told me, I didn't see early on in his career. And then there's some tape. They say, go look at this. Go look at this high school clip. Go look at this. And then I could see it. And I don't know if you remember this, but I used to push just like two seasons ago. When Nasir would get a rebound, I would say often, I wish he would get it and keep it. I wish rather than getting a rebound and looking for Dame or I wish he would keep it. Because I've seen in past scenarios like, oh, he can do that. So to the point of what you're saying right now, like the handle we just saw the other night against OKC, it's like, wow, we haven't seen that in a Blazer uniform like the way you're doing it now. Even when he had the 30 points at Milwaukee a couple seasons ago, that was way different than the 28. He just, like, that was a real, like, when we talk about what could work against a real defense in a regular season game and a two-possession game, the stuff he was doing against Oklahoma City can work. So,
yeah,
I'm right there with you, like, watching him, seeing what kind of consistency he can have going down the stretch. Because that was fun to see from him.
I mean, it's like they put Josh Giddey on him, and he said, "Josh Giddey can't guard me," but he didn't do it. He didn't do it twice. And sometimes when you're playing a small minute role, it's two times that you say, "This dude can't guard me."
Yeah.
He took 15 twos. Like he took 15 twos. He said, "Josh Giddey can't guard me," and every single time down the floor, Josh Giddey can't guard me. Yeah. And yeah, like Josh Giddey's not a very good defensive player. That's the confidence you want to see, right? Like that's what you want to see. But that's how, for me, really important to watch these end of season games, because it's like I want to see Nazir Little say, whoever it might be, like I don't Kevin Herter, come here, Malik Monk, come get it, dog, like come here. Malik Monk scored 2,000 points against Carolina in two games. So I actually don't want too much of Malik Monk and my beloved Tar Heels in the same sentence, but we won the one that mattered, Malik. But like, you want to see guys take advantage of it. One of the things that I'll let you get out of here, it's curious. Like, I think Matisse Thybulle is going to be a really good player on this team. Like, I think he's going to come back and he's going to be a really valuable player, but this setting where Matisse is where the team just like, he needs talent around him to kind of, so he can help raise the floor. When the ceiling is lowered, I think Matisse isn't, his skills aren't as obvious. So it's like, for me, I'm just straight up like, I'm not worried about Matisse Thybulle. He can have a million quiet nights in a row, because I know when he gets out there with better parts, what he does is more meaningful. With Nas and with other guys, it's the reverse. It's like, hey, there's space for you to fill, go fill it. Like, there's opportunity for you, go grab it. Go beat up on, go find someone that can't guard you, or find out if they can guard you, and go try to score. Yeah. I thought Cam Reddish had some quiet moments in the first two games, kind of post pivot. And then, he's maybe dealing with his back stuff. But I thought in the first half against New Orleans, like, Cam was like, okay, I'm going to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. That's all you want to see. You just want to see guys go try to be their best selves.
Totally, totally. And we've talked a lot about offense defensively too. I mean, I'm watching that side of the floor to see who's just playing smart defense, because to me, the season started going south this year when the defensive intellect just wasn't as high as it was to start the season. So I know that's going to be a big point going into the offseason. So guys can gain ground on that end of the floor as well.
Yeah, I mean, you just it is a level of interest and just sort of there is a sort of mental effort, because as Terry Stotts used to always say this, if you play hard the wrong way, you're not playing hard.
That's very true.
It'll be handful of games left, a couple against Sacramento, and then out on the road. Lamar will have you covered on TV. Check him out on Roots Sports. Lamar, I appreciate you joining the program. It was a whole bunch of fun.
Mike, my pleasure as always. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. Dear listeners, come back for more. Blazers play the first game against the Kings on Wednesday. We will talk about that one after it happens. And Friday's show is going to be a mailbag episode. So if you've got questions, email me, lockedonblazerspod@gmail.com. Tell your friends about the show. I appreciate you listening. I'll talk to you soon.